Well, today is February 18th, and you're listening to Born on This Day podcast. I'm Marco Timpano.
And I'm Bill Antoniou.
Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm all right on this fine February day, Marco.
Yes, yes. Don't forget that R. In I used to love saying February when I was a kid, and now I realize there's the R. Yeah. Well, today is also National Battery Day, Bill.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
As in the put things you put in your toys, not actually hitting people.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. And it much like National Lash Day, it could have two meanings. But here we're talking about batteries that you put into your toys, you know, and batteries that you use everywhere, like those lithium batteries and whatnot. So really, I don't know what to say, but enjoy your batteries today.
Yeah,
I don't know how you celebrate this.
It's marvelous to power things without needing to plug them into a wall. That's the beauty of a battery.
Yep. Yes, most definitely. Yeah. I have a bag. I buy my batteries at Costco, and then I have this large Ziploc bag filled with AA's and AAA batteries. And it's always like, where's the batteries? And I'm like, oh, they're in a bag somewhere. I got to find them.
I know.
Them.
I do the same thing. I buy a whole bunch, and I'm like, great. I'm never going to need these again. I'm never going to need to look for batteries again. And then I always forget where I put them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, Bill, if you were born today, which I know you haven't, you are considerate, affectionate, passionate, and caring. In short, you epitomize the spirit of a true Aquarius. People born on today, February 18th, are not afraid to speak their minds.
Interesting. Well, that's probably true of our first celebrant. The super cool John Travolta brought his brand of cool to his star-making lead role in Saturday Night Fever, for which he was nominated for a Best Actor Oscar. After struggling to make it in New York theater, he moved to California and appeared on the show Welcome Back, Cotter, and the film Carrie. Then came back to New York to star in the Broadway production of Grease, later landing the lead role in the film adaptation in 1978. Throughout the 80s, he starred in a series of bombs before his hit 1989 comedy, Look Who's Talking, then scored what is considered the greatest comeback of the last half century with his second Oscar nomination for the massively popular 1994 Quentin Tarantino film, Pulp Fiction. It was followed by roles in Get Shorty, Broken Arrow, Face Off, Primary Colors, The General's Daughter, and his disastrous adaptation of Battlefield Earth. More recently, he played Robert Shapiro in The People vs. O.J. Simpson and was in Gotti and The Fanatic. He recently lost his wife, actress Kelly Preston, to breast cancer. He is a devoted Scientologist and was born on this day in Englewood, New Jersey in 1954.
So sad. He lost his son not too long ago and his wife, who I thought she was very talented. It's really sad to see that happen.
She was okay.
She was okay.
Yeah, she wasn't that memorable, but she was also really lovely and young, and it's a shame.
You know what? I think I get her confused with Tom Hanks's wife.
Also lovely and, you know, fine and...
Fair enough. Okay. Listen, I'm going to go on to our next guest before I bring up other people who are fine but not great actors. Uh-huh. Being a teenager was exemplified for young women by Molly Ringwald in the 80s. I have no idea why I highlighted all this text, Bill. It just sort of happened.
Well, because you're you, Marco.
I guess. It's mainly centered around the three films which she collaborated with producer and director John Hughes. You might remember 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, and Pretty in Pink. She made her debut at the beginning of the decade on two episodes of Different Strokes and then led to its spinoff, of course, The Facts of Life, with many of the cast, including Ringwald, fired after the first season. I wonder why they fired them all. There was too many.
They just decided to take the show in a different direction because in the first season, it's not... like the way I know The Facts of Life with the four girls who, you know, how they work in the cafeteria and, you know, that's all later. In the beginning, it was just a girl's school.
Fair enough. Well, anyways, she played Miranda in Paul Mazursky's modern adaptation of Tempest, later made the daring choice of appearing in Godard's King Lear, starred in For Keeps, Fresh Horses, and Betsy's Wedding with Alan Alda. I think he played her father.
Yep. Madeline Kahn was her mom.
Oh, so great. She recently came back to prominence with her performance as Archie's mother, Mary, on the hit series Riverdale, but spends most of her time focusing on writing, translating, recently responsible for the English version of Philippe Besson's novel, Lie With Me. She was born on this day in Roseville, California in 1984.
Marco, speaking of John Hughes, it is also his birthday today, the filmmaker whose teen-oriented comedies are the definition of the genre in the 80s, directing two of the Ringwald films, as well as Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and She's Having a Baby. He finished his directing career with Uncle Buck and Curly Sue, wrote the screenplay for the mega-hit comedy Home Alone, and the scripts for Beethoven 1 and 2, Baby's Day Out, and a number of others, writing and producing until his death in 2009 at the age of 59. He was born on this day in Lansing, Michigan in 1950.
Well, he certainly died too soon because I would have liked to have seen what else he would have come up with.
You wanted a Home Alone 4.
Well, no, I just like, I don't know if he would have progressed to something a little bit more, you know, not so teen friendly and more or kid friendly.
That or he would have continued to make movies about young people, but update them for the modern age. You know, like a lot of his, as much as I love something like 16 Candles, it is very dated and, you know.
And a bit rapey if you watch it.
Well, but that's what I mean by dated, you know, like it's a lot of things that we laughed off in the 80s that the more humane and sensitive children of today are upset by.
Sure. You know. Fair enough. Well, speaking of humane, Jeremy Allen White is best known for his role as Lip Gallagher on the hit Showtime series Shameless, currently appearing in its 11th season. He made his debut in the 2006 film Beautiful Ohio and has appeared on episodes of Law & Order, Conviction, and in the 2018 he co-starred on the series Homecoming. This year, he co-stars in Dave Franco's directorial debut, The Rental, which I just read a review for yesterday, and it just panned it and said it was terrible. Well, he was born...
Was that my review, Marco?
Was it? Did you do a review on
it? I did, but
okay,
I don't know,
so it must have been yours. And I think you gave it 1B, right?
Yeah.
And you were like...
I love that. I thought maybe he's coyly referring to my blog, or maybe he genuinely doesn't remember that it was my review that he read.
I think I went down a rabbit hole because on your blog, you don't give the spoilers away without saying them, right? So I was like, oh, Bill says it was really bad. I need to know the plot. And I read the plot. And you know, when you read it on sites that have spoilers, I read the spoilers and I just thought, oh, the script sounds kind of garbage. And, you know, Dave Franco, whether you love him or not, is kind of garbage too. So it makes sense that he made a garbage film.
Whether you love him or not, he's garbage.
Right. Anyways, Jeremy Allen White was born on this day in Brooklyn in 1991.
Matt Dillon became a heartthrob from his first film appearances in Over the Edge and Little Darlings. And as far as I am concerned, stayed smoking hot until just a few years ago. He maintained his stardom throughout the films My Bodyguard, Tex, The Outsiders, Rumblefish, and The Flamingo Kid, receiving critical acclaim for his performance in Gus Van Sant's Drugstore Cowboy, and later maintaining fame in the high-profile hits There's Something About Mary, Wild Things, and In and Out. He received an Oscar nomination for his performance in Crash in 2005, and more recently was on Wayward Pines and the film Capone. He was born on this day in New Rochelle, New York in 1964.
Why doesn't he no longer make it on your hot list?
He's just aged, you know. He just, I mean, no shame to him, but like
you like was, the young wine.
He was smoking hot for like 30 years. He had plenty of time.
Fair enough.
You know.
Well, listen, Bill, speaking of garbage, Sybil Shepherd's career began in modeling, winning the Miss Teenage Memphis contest in 1966 and the Model of the Year contest in 1968. Her career as a fashion model led her to her acting debut in an acclaimed Best Picture nominee, The Last Picture Show, in 1971, after which she continued to work with its director, Peter Bogdanovich, after he left his wife, Polly Platt, for Sybil, on the badly received film Daisy Miller and At Long Last Love. Oh my goodness, there's a tongue twister for you. She appeared in the comedy The Heartbreak Kid and in Scorsese's Taxi Driver, then in the 80s scored a huge success on the show Moonlighting, for which she won 2 Golden Globes. She repeated her success on the sitcom Sybil, for which she won another Golden Globe, and more recently had roles on The Client List and Psych, and the films She's Funny That Way and Do You Believe. She was born on this day in Memphis, Tennessee in 1950. And the reason I say she is garbage, Bill, I saw her on a talk show once and she kind of badmouthed Elvis. She went on a date with Elvis and it didn't sit well with me.
Well, she's not famous for being nice. I mean, I've heard a lot of things about Sybil. And I don't know that she makes up for it by being remarkably talented, but I have liked her in a few things.
Fair enough.
Ike Barinholtz is beloved for his comedic skills, a member of the improv troupe Boom Chicago, who became known for his roles on the shows Eastbound and Down, The Mindy Project, and 5 Years on Mad TV. He has also appeared in the films Suicide Squad, Sisters, Blockers, and last year switched to drama for The Hunt. He was born on this day in Chicago in 1977.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. One of the most famous lines in Hollywood history and uttered by character actor George Kennedy, who won an Oscar for his performance in the film Cool Hand Luke, in which he delivered that line. He served in World War II under Patton and won 2 Bronze Stars for his distinguished service, then pursued acting and became famous as a tough authority type, appearing in the films McHale's Navy, The Son of Katie Elder, The Flight of the Phoenix, and episodes of Gunsmoke and Dr. Kildare. After his Oscar win, he starred in all the airport movies, the disaster film Earthquake, and Death on the Nile, and in the 80s appeared in the Naked Gun spoofs. His last appearance was in the 2014 film The Gambler, which is not the Kenny Rogers version, Bill. I had to look to make sure. It was released 2 years before his death at the tender age of 91. He was born on this day in New York City in 1925.
Greta Scacchi was born to an Italian father and English mother, raised in Australia and working as an Italian interpreter on a ranch before moving to England to train at the Bristol Old Vic. She paid her way through classes by modeling, eventually making her film debut as the star of the Merchant Ivory film Heat and Dust. She followed that with roles in The Coca-Cola Kid, White Mischief, Shattered, The Player by Robert Altman, and the Merchant Ivory film Jefferson in Paris, winning an Emmy Award for the TV movie Rasputin. She was later in Emma, The Red Violin, Cotton Mary, Beyond the Sea, and Hidden Love with Isabelle Huppert. More recently, she was on the series The Terror and the film Palm Beach. She was born on this day in Milan, Italy, in 1960.
You know, Bill, I studied to be a interpreter on a ranch, an Italian interpreter on a ranch, because it is quite a lucrative career.
And you were very upset because it turned out that the horses didn't speak Italian.
I think you also have to be beautiful to have that job, like Scacchi is. Yeah. Well, anyways, Jane Atkinson has been nominated for a Tony Award twice for The Rainmaker and Enchanted April. While on television, she appeared in the films Free Willy and Blank Check and on other shows like House of Cards, Madam Secretary, and Criminal Minds. She was born on this day in Bournemouth, England in 1959.
Bournemouth,
sorry.
Ha ha, you tried, but you got it wrong. Ha ha. I would imagine a ranch in Australia probably has a lot of hired hands, and they were probably all immigrants. That's probably why they hired her to do that.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Fair. I thought maybe it was like a what they call, like, you know, Australia has a lot of vineyards, and so maybe they call them ranches and wine
industry. But if it was a vineyard, too, that would also, there are harvest seasons where they hire a lot of temporary workers, and in Australia, as in many other places, they tend to be from elsewhere. So it would make sense if they had like a huge influx of Italian immigrants there that, you know.
I don't know, because you can barely get Italians to pick grapes in their own country.
Well, we'll just leave that offensive statement there and move on.
This geopolitical part of the podcast. Okay.
Jack Palance gave the Academy Awards one of its most memorable moments when he collected his Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for City Slickers and did one-arm push-ups on the stage. That was in 1992. He had begun his adult life as a boxer whose career was interrupted by World War II, during which he served as a bomber pilot, then resumed college at Stanford and moved to New York to pursue acting. He understudied Marlon Brando in A Streetcar Named Desire before starring in a number of plays, making his debut on film in Elia Kazan's Panic in the Streets and earning Oscar nominations for the thriller Sudden Fear with Joan Crawford and the Western Shane. Later roles include The Big Knife, Barabbas, The Professionals. In the late 80s, he appeared in Young Guns and Batman. Then after his Oscar win, starred in Cops and Robbersons, Treasure Island, and made his last appearance in the 2004 TV movie Back When We Were Grown-Ups, 2 years before his death at the age of 86. He was born on this day in Latimer Mines, Pennsylvania, in 1920.
Bill, if you took one of my favorite singers' first names and you took one of my favorite actors' last names and you smushed them together, you would have our next celebrant.
And that's all you know about her.
That's I don't even think I've seen one of these films. Mm-hmm. Sinead Cusack is an actress who made her debut in the late 60s, starring on British television and a number of films, but becoming better known internationally for her later roles in the 90s, including, who could forget, The Cement Garden, I Capture the Castle, Passion of Mind, and Amanda's favorite movie, which I haven't seen, Stealing Beauty, in which she co-starred with her husband, Jeremy Irons, to whom she's been married since 1978. She later appeared in V for Vendetta. Actually, I think I saw that one. And Wrath of the Titans. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look out. On stage, she was nominated for an Olivier for Our Lady Sligo and was a Tony nominee for the Much Ado About Nothing in 1985 and Rock and Roll in 2008, and appeared in the National Theatre's production of King Lear in 2018. She has two children with Irons, as well as being the mother of Ireland's MP, Richard Boyd Barrett, that is, whom she gave up for adoption and met later in his life. She was born on this day in Dalkey, Ireland in 1948.
The Cement Garden is the movie, if you know the Madonna song, What It Feels Like for a Girl, where you hear Charlotte Gainsbourg speaking at the beginning.
Oh, yes,
girls
yes.
Can wear jeans and cut their hair short. That's from The Cement Garden.
Okay.
Mm. So you can act like it's nothing, Marco, but to some of us, it's something.
Okay, Bill. Okay, you and Madonna share this love for that film.
Yeah, all right. I've actually never seen it. Anyway, moving on to someone I very much admired in the 80s, Vanna White moved to California to be an actress, appearing in the films Graduation Day and Looker in 1981, and was one of the first contestants on a little game show called The Price is Right. In 1983, she landed the job that made her famous as the woman who turns the letters on Wheel of Fortune, and now sometimes takes over as host when Pat Sajak is absent. It is estimated that as of 2019, she cumulatively walked more than 2,000 miles on the stage revealing letters. Photos of her posing in lingerie taken years earlier surfaced in 1987, and she asked her friend Hugh Hefner not to publish them in Playboy magazine. He ignored her request and published them anyway, and she never spoke to him again. She has also enjoyed a few gigs as an actress, including playing Venus in the TV movie Goddess of Love, and appearing as herself in various shows and films. She has to date appeared on 7,130 episodes of Wheel of Fortune, and is still going. She was born on this day in North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in 1957.
And Bill, why should we read her biography?
I don't know, Marco, to read about the making of the TV movie Goddess of Love, because I taped it off TV as a kid and I used to watch it all the time.
No, because Dorothy says on an episode of The Golden Girls that it's quite good. And I've been trying to find it at the library and they don't have it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Anyways, going on. John Pankow attended a performance of David Mamet's American Buffalo and was inspired to drop out of university and train with Chicago's St. Nicholas Theater instead. He made his debut in a PBS film, Life on the Mississippi, in 1980, and appeared in a number of off-Broadway productions, making it to Broadway in The Iceman Cometh and Amadeus. On film, he appeared in To Live and Die in L.A., The Secret of My Success, and Talk Radio. Then, in 1993, landed the role for which he is best known as Ira on Mad About You. Later films include The Object of My Affection, Bride Wars, Morning Glory, and The Matt LeBlanc Show episodes, which is great. He recently joined the cast of Mad About You for the 2019 reboot and was born on this day in St. Louis, Missouri in 1955.
Miloš Forman's parents were arrested and accused of being part of the Czech underground, both dying in concentration camps when he was a teenager. He studied screenwriting at Prague's Film Academy and after graduation became one of the country's most successful filmmakers, earning two Oscar nominations for Best Foreign Film for Loves of a Blonde and The Fireman's Ball before coming to Hollywood and making his English language debut with Taking Off in 1971. 4 years later, he won the Best Director Oscar for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, made adaptations of Hair and Ragtime before winning a second Oscar for directing Amadeus in 1984. His 1989 film Valmont was an adaptation of Dangerous Liaisons. His 1996 film The People vs. Larry Flint earned him another Oscar nomination, followed by his last two films, Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey and Goya's Ghosts with Javier Bardem. He died in 2018 at the age of 86. He was born on this day in Kaslov, Czechoslovakia in 1932.
Nadine Labaki studied media at Beirut's St. Joseph University before becoming an actress and director who has done both with great acclaim internationally. She made her film debut as an actress in Bosta in 2005, then in 2007 made her directorial debut with Caramel, following by the 2011 film Where Do We Go Now that won the People's Choice Award at the Toronto International Film Festival. Did you see that one, Bill?
I did, yes.
Did it deserve to win?
The TIFF audiences that vote the most are like our parents. So
right.
It's a lovely movie. It's nothing that really changed my world, but like there's always a typical audience favorite type of movie that wins at TIFF. And that one sort of fit in, you know.
I get it. People from the burbs come into the city to see films and then they think they're so, you know, so
well,
great.
It's just like it always has like an uplifting tone and, you know, right. It's about quirky, adorable people in a far part of the earth. And anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Well, listen, her 2018 film, Capernaum, was nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. Plus, she starred in the 2003 film, Rock the Casbah, or the Casbah, and The Prince of Fame, which happened a year before that. She was voted Variety's Arabia's Personality of the Year in 2011. And was awarded the insignia of Chevalier in the Order of Arts and Letters from the French Ministry of Culture and Communications. She was born on this day in Beirut, Lebanon, in 1974.
Andre Rommel Young performs under the stage name Dr. Dre, an American rapper, record producer, audio engineer, record executive, and entrepreneur. He began his career as a member of the world-class Wreckin' Crew in 1985 and later found fame with the gangster rap group N.W.A. During the early 1990s, Dre was credited as a key figure in the crafting and popularization of West Coast G-Funk, a subgenre of hip-hop characterized by a synthesizer foundation and slow, heavy beats. He released his first solo album, The Chronic, in 1992, and was one of the best-selling American artists of the year, earning him a Grammy Award. He signed Eminem in 1998 and 50 Cent in 2002, spending the 2000s focusing on producing other artists and occasionally contributing vocals. Accusations of violence against women have been made against him by numerous former partners, resulting in a number of fines and community service sentences. He was born on this day in Los Angeles, California, in 1965.
Well, Bill, probably my favorite on the list. Yoko Ono spent her childhood in California before going back to Japan just before World War II and surviving the bombings of Tokyo. In the 50s, she attended college at Sarah Lawrence, becoming involved in the New York downtown artist scene and establishing herself as a multimedia artist. She achieved international fame in 1969 when she married musician John Lennon, performing their Bed-Ins for Peace from their honeymoon suite at the Hilton Amsterdam in protest against the Vietnam War. Her notable art exhibits include Cut Peace, Wish Tree, A Rising, and Refugee Boat, while her music career includes 14 studio albums from 1970 to 2018, and she has published 13 art books and directed a number of short films and features. Her album collaboration with Lennon, Double Fantasy, was released the year he was murdered and won a Grammy Award for Album of the Year. She was born on this day in Tokyo in 1933. And Bill, I have her Illy cups that she designed, and I think they're great.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Calvert made her film debut at the age of 12 in 1927, but became a star in the 40s after appearing in the 1943 film The Man in Grey. She became associated with the Gainsborough costume dramas of the decade, including Madonna of the Seven Moons, and she was voted second most popular actress in Britain after Margaret Lockwood. She attempted a Hollywood career briefly in the late 40s, but returned quickly to England, concentrating more on television in the 50s and starring on her own hit series, Kate, in 1970. She continued to work until a small role in the 1997 adaptation of Mrs. Dalloway and her final appearance on an episode of Midsummer Murders in 2000, 2 years before her death at the age of 87. She was born on this day in London in 1915.
I don't know if I can say her last name right, Bill. Mary Ur?
I think it's Yuri, but I'm not
sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mary Urie was a British stage actress who made a handful of notable film appearances, including her best-known role in the adaptation of D.H. Lawrence's Sons and Lovers, for which she was nominated for a Best Supporting Actress Oscar. On stage, she appeared in John Osborne's groundbreaking Angry Young Man play, Look Back in Anger at the Royal Court, later repeating the role on film with Richard Burton, and performed a season at Stratford in England this time. On film, she also appeared in Where Eagles Dare and The Luck of Ginger Coffee. But the demands of raising her 6 children made her unavailable for work, and her increasing issues with alcoholism made her too unwell to work until her death after an overdose of sleeping pills in 1975 at the age of 42. She was born on this day in Glasgow in 1933.
Esther Garel recently got our attention with her performance in the Oscar-winning coming-of-age drama Call Me By Your Name. She is the daughter of director Philippe Garel and the sister of French film star Louis Garel, and has also appeared in the films The Great Pretender, Camille Rewinds, and Thirst Street. She was born on this day in Paris, France in 1991.
And Bill, last on our list, one more British stage actress, Kay Hammond, trained at RADA, before making her debut as Tilly of Bloomsbury in 1927. Then, within a few years, was established in the West End as a star. She's best known for her performance as Elvira in the 1945 film version of Noel Coward's Blithe Spirit, co-starring Rex Harrison, in which she was painted green and yellow to look like a ghost so that there was no need for special effects. She married soon after and only made 2 more feature films, suffering a heart condition that made it necessary for her to retire early from the profession. She made her last film appearance in 5 Golden Hours in 1961, dying in 1980 at the age of 71. She was born on this day in London in 1909.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go, Bill. That was a lot, man. That was a lot for today. Born, if you were born on February 18th, you're born with a lot of people.
Certainly are.
Well,
and listen, a lot of sad stories today, too.
Indeed, there was. Mm-hmm. And listen, check your smoke alarms, replace batteries, check your remote controls, make sure those batteries are up to snuff. Today is International Battery Day.
Check your mom, make sure her batteries are still running, that she's not overworked raising 6 kids that she might kill herself.
Yeah.
You never know.
Wow. You never know, indeed. Well, Bill, I'll see you hopefully tomorrow for more Born on This Day.
I'll see, Marco. I don't know if I feel like it.
Okay.